Good morning, church.
We had a great worship service this morning, a great start. Welcome everybody back to Agape Community Church. And with the group staying up here, I sang so much, so loud, I almost lost my voice, and I had to pull back and retreat and say, oh, I got to preach. You know, last night I was in a relative's birthday party on Monica's side, a young lady. It was a birthday and also baby shower. Not that I do not know what a baby shower is or was. When I arrived at the place, you know, I look around and two sisters, okay, one is pregnant with child, the other is single. And I've seen them before many years ago, and I couldn't make out who is who. And then in the midst of everything, I said, where's the baby? They said, what baby? It's not born yet. It's a baby shower. Don't you know what a baby shower is? I said, yeah. But she doesn't look pregnant. She says, this is not the sister, it's the other one. So I was totally blur. All right? And that was just only less than 24 hours ago. I'm not too sure whether I'm still blur or not. Not supposed to preach this morning, but something came up. And so, but it's a joy to come up here and preach. And I trust that you'll be blessed by the message. It's so wonderful just to be back here again as one congregation. When Pastor Ignatius asked us to see whether those of you were in your first, I cannot even tell who attends first service and who attends second service, simply because I see you every Sunday, every single one of you who comes, because I attend both services. All right? But it's such a joy actually just to be here. Good morning, church, those up there in the balcony. Good morning, church, those in the mother's room. Hallelujah. Okay, this morning I want you to turn your attention. You see, I told you I'm blurred this morning. Look at my notes. Where's my notes? Come on, bring it here. Thank you, Anne. I want you to turn your attention to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 20. Titled my message as Build Your Church, Lord. Build your church, Lord. At the end of the service, I'm going to sing a very familiar chorus, you know, for I'm building a people of power and I'm making a people of praise. How many still remember that chorus? All right, an old-time favorite, probably those of us who come from the age and days of Abraham, we probably don't need those dinosaurs lyrics. We probably have it all in our mind. But for those of you young ones and new in church, you know, this would be a new song to you. Welcome to our world. Now, Matthew 16, verse 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is, referring to himself? Now, we replied, some say you're the John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and yet others Jeremiah or one of the many prophets. But what about you, he asked, what or who do you say I am? And of course, guess who? Peter, the spokesman. No, it's Peter, a very impetuous person, quick to speak. Sometimes he speaks too soon. He regrets it. But this time, you know, he hits the mark and he got it right. He says, you are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by men, but by my Father in heaven. How many of you know that there are things in life, there are things as far as our walk and our journey of faith is concerned with God, there are things that God begins to drop it in our hearts, in our lives, and we know, you know, that is what God is telling us. So it has not been revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you this, Peter, it says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And so whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. And I wonder why. Have you? Do you wonder why at that point? Don't tell anyone that I'm the Christ. Now, here was Peter's confession as to who Jesus was to him. And also we have Jesus' declaration that I will build my church and the gates of hell will never overcome it. And it's amazing, as our team is going and growing, you know, Jesus says nothing will stop the advancing church, not even the very gates of hell, you know, not even the very gates of hell. It's interesting here that this statement where Jesus declared, you know, where Peter declared that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the anointed one, and Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell would never ever prevail against it. This declaration was not made in Jerusalem, you know, but it was made in a Gentile city, Caesarea in Philippi. A Gentile city. Jesus took disciples to a Gentile territory in the region of Caesarea Philippi, and this was about 120 miles north of Jerusalem, or Palestine, and the region was strongly identified with various religions. It has been a center of Baal worship. The Greek goddess Pan had the shrines there. Herod the Great built a temple there in honor of Augustus Caesar. And it was in this midst of this pagan superstition that Peter confessed that Jesus as the Son of the living God. And it was probably within sight of Caesar's temple that Jesus announced a surprise. He would yet establish his kingdom, but he said and promised that he will build his church. When Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will never ever overcome it, what church was he talking about? He was certainly not talking about Agape Community Church. He wasn't having a local church in mind, but he was having a universal church in mind, regardless of race, regardless of gender, regardless of denominational background. You know, he was looking at a church that comprises every single person that's born again, who has Jesus in his heart, who has turned from irreligiosity into a devoted living relationship with God. He was thinking of a church that comprises all kinds of people all over the world who have acknowledged him as his Lord and personal Savior at that point until today and then until he comes again, right? This is the universal church of God. It's not the Roman Catholic Church, by the way. You know, it's called a Roman Catholic Church because it was at the time of the Roman Greco Empire, where Rome ruled the world, you know, and then Greek was the culture of the day, the language and the culture of the day. And here you will have Jesus, you know, saying that I will build my church, and the Roman Catholic Church is basically a church that was formed in the early days where Rome ruled the world, and Catholic simply means universal, all right? And universal means everywhere. And so you can also say that we are part and parcel of the Roman Catholic Church. Not the Roman Catholic Church we understand today, but the church that started at Rome, the early church that started at Rome, all right, in the sense. The early church that started at Rome, you know, God began to build. And so today we have all kinds of denominations, all kinds of churches, all kinds of names. We have Agape, we have Kuetape, and I don't know what have you. You know, some people, when they first heard of Agape, wow, your church is Agape. I say it's Agape. What's Agape? You know, divine love. And so regardless of our denominational background, we are one church. And you'll be amazed and surprised, and there will be many surprises in heaven, because people who don't, you think, would not be there, are there. People you think would be there might not be there. And some of you will be surprised that you even made it there. See, it's not by works we have done, but by the grace of God, simply meaning, you know, it is not earned. Salvation is never earned. We would never be good enough for God. But it's because of the goodness of God, the mercy and the grace of God, you know, that we become good enough for God. It's not on our own. You know, God's love is so very amazing. So there's that. When Jesus, I will build my church, he was talking about a universal church, right? But there's also that local church where God plucks us in, where God places us in, And in the context of this morning service, it is Agape Community Church, this local church. For some of you are visiting from other churches, wherever you are, wherever you come from, and you attend a church somewhere on planet Earth, that is your local church. And so there's a universal church, but there's also the local churches all around the world. And when Jesus says, I will build my church, he's talking about the universal church, but he builds it through the local church. See, it's amazing how in Paul's writing, most of his writings, you know, are written not to individual, as besides Philemon, but it is written to a group of people that are gathered at a certain locality, whether it's a church at Ephesus, a church at Philippi, the church at Galatia, to the Romans, or the Romans, the Christian in Rome, in the book of Romans. He was writing to a group of people, to a local church, a congregation there. And so God builds the universal church by building the local church, through building the local church. And the local church is so very important. No, I trust that you will see the importance of the local church. Someone says, can I become a Christian and not attend church? The answer is simply yes. Can one be a Christian without joining a church? Yes or no? Totally yes. It is possible because we are saved by faith in Christ and not by membership in a church. Church isn't going to save you, all right? Someone says, no, I was born a Christian. Oh, really? Why? Because I come from a Christian family. Oh, I said, oh, so what does your father do? My father is a medical doctor. So does it mean that you're born into a family where your father is a medical doctor, so you are also a doctor? He says, no. You know, so we're never, just because we're born in a Christian family, we're not a Christian. It's almost like, you know, if you go into a garage, car garage, often enough, you become a car. All right? That doesn't work that way. So coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. What makes us Christian is our relationship, our personal relationship with God. We could have been born in a Christian family. We could have gone through christening, you know, through water baptism. But if there's no personal relationship with God, that doesn't make any difference at all. I used to say, you know, baptism, you know, if you, without Christ, like going through the water, a dry sinner, and coming out with a wet look. No change at all. All right? And what changes is, you know, that amazing relationship with God. That deep within our hearts of hearts, we know that we know that we know that God is love. So church isn't going to save you, but it is a divinely appointed institution. God has appointed. That's why Paul, when he writes to different places, there were actually a group of Christians at this place. So the church of God. You will read Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, to the church of God at Ephesus, to the church of God at Corinth, to the church of God in Seremban, Agape, all right? To the church of God, a local church. You see, being a Christian without joining a church is something like this. You know, it's like something like a citizen who would not pay taxes or vote, a student who would not attend classes at school, a soldier who would not join the army, a seaman on a ship without a crew, you know, a football player without a team, a politician who is a hermit, a scientist with great discovery would not share with others, or a honeybee without a hive. It's almost like that. You know, if you say, I am a Christian, I don't want to join a church, you'll still be safe, but what a contradiction. Right? What a contradiction. If Jesus were to build his church, what can we do to partner with Jesus and build the local church? If Jesus says, I'm going to build my church, means a universal church, and he does it by building every local church. That's why Bill Hybels says, the church is the hope of the world. And how true it is. How true it is. Jesus desires to build every local church into a great church. Every local church into a great church. And greatness doesn't mean just in size, but greatness means Christ-like in character. Doing everything, living out kingdom principles in our lives. And so what must we do? Four things I'll leave you very quickly this morning. One is make church a very important part of your life. If God is going to build a local church, we've got to make church, make Agape Community Church, a very, very important part of our life. Simply meaning, we just cannot come on a Sunday morning, sit at our favorite seat, give some money, sing some songs, listen to a message, and then go back. And then live our entire life from Sunday afternoon right to Saturday night or Sunday morning the next week without any thought or attachment, you know, with the church, with the local church. That cannot be. Now, if you are thinking that I'm a broken record, you know, sounding like a broken record, you know, playing this over, you know, those old days, the whiner record, you know, you put on the head and then the thing gets stuck. You go on and go on until you have to push it a little bit, you know. And some of you are probably wanting to push me a little bit. No, I will not move. I shall not be moved. There's some things in life that's not move. All right? The Bible says, resist the devil. What is that? And the devil will flee from you. You resist the devil time and time again, he will flee from you. But some things will not flee from you. You have to flee. If you are given to a big appetite and you're trying to lose weight, don't just resist the food, because the food will not flee from you. You will have to flee from the food. All right? Amen. I like that. That's how you keep slim, is it? So I shall not be moved. All right? And probably you are hearing this time and time again, probably a fellow, probably it could be that this church is not for you. Could it be? I do not know. You have to answer the question. I'm not suggesting anything. You know, but we cannot. We got to make church a very important and integral part of our lives. I see that happening to so many people. I think of Chong Chi Kin, you know, never miss, except of late because of his health, never miss a prayer meeting. Never. What does he do for a living? He repairs motorbike and machines. That's what he does. Never ever miss a prayer meeting. I think of Brother Dick, you know, he puts me to shame. Sometimes I'm busy outstation or something like that. I say, okay lah, got somebody to handle a prayer meeting, you know. So I punting a little bit. Regardless, he will drive back. Whether it's from Singapore, from Penang, he'll work his schedule around and be found in prayer meeting. I think of Julie, who just lost her husband, Edward, recently. So this morning, before service started, the whole week, I was trying to call her. I didn't get a chance to call her, you know. And I asked Julie this morning when I saw her, are you okay still, your family okay still to do communion next week? Without the blink of an eye, she said, sure, we'll be there. You know, this is what church is all about. Making church an integral part, a very important part of our life. Nothing, no matter what it is, no, I shall not be moved. And the Bible says neither heaven or hell or nothing on earth or under the earth or in the heavens can separate us from the very love of God. An integral part of our life. And I know I'm just amazed at what God is doing here in Agape, because there's so many of you, you know, are doing just that. And some of us need to jump on the bandwagon and say, God, I want to make church a very integral part of my life. So Sunday morning services are important. Every time the church meets is important. Whatever the church is involved is important. I just don't come on a Sunday morning and then leave and have no attachment to the church at all until the next Sunday. It becomes, how does God build the church? And put it another way, what am I doing and how am I contributing to the growth of my local church? I'm not probably speaking just to people who attend Agape, probably there are visitors here. You know, what are we doing to contribute? What's our contribution to the growth of our local church. Number two, we go with the flow of the church. We go with the flow of the church. You see, leadership is a strange thing. Sometimes followers look from a perspective of followers. Sometimes leaders look from a perspective of a leader. And because of that difference in perspective, no, things don't quite align. All right? And everything to do with perspective. Why do leaders do or think the way they think and do the things they do? Why do followers think the way they think and do the things they do? All right? And sometimes it's neither what is right or wrong. Sometimes it's a matter of perspective. It's almost like watching a football game from the sideline, you know, and then making comments and telling players how to play. So easy, right? We all have done that. Why? Because we are looking from the perspective with an eagle's eye, so to speak. We see everything there. The whole football field, we just from our seat at home. And we see things. The player doesn't see everything. And best players, good players, are people who are able, you know, to see where they are, where the ball is being played, and looking at the big picture. All right? And that's amazing. Great players are always like that in games. And so sometimes it's not who is right, who is wrong, but sometimes it's a matter of perspective. And if the church is moving in one direction, we flow. We may have questions, we may have differences, but we flow along. When we started our second service last year in January 2018, you know, we had a lot of apprehension, isn't it? How would it be? That means if service started at 8:30, the first service, what time do the worship people come in? 7:30. Oh my goodness. I still remember we had, recently there was the choir sang up here. What time do you come in? 6:30 or 6:45. You see, it's really early. You mean when you came, when you presented a song, that fun song about Father's Day, where you ask your mother, you ended by asking your mother, all right? They had to come in for a very, it's not practice, it's just a sound check and a rehearse, a quick run through, all right? 6:45. You see, church is very much a part of their lives. The reason why we enjoy all of this is because there are people who put in the time. Oh, we got a new video, right? The 5 minutes, what do you call that? Countdown, 5 minutes, countdown. How many of you noticed it was different? Oh, some of you didn't even notice at all. Hello? How many hours of work put in there? It was a new 5 minutes countdown video. Some of you are still blur. You're blurrer than I am this morning. Some of you just do not know because you come always 5 minutes later. So you just missed the video, all right? But I'm just trying to get it, get at this point that there was a lot of work put in, all right? That just a 5 minutes video. So much work put in. I think they just need a round of applause. Just whoever put that together, just amazing, you know? So our second service, coming back to our second service, so much apprehension, but yet we went with the flow. And God has blessed us. God has blessed us. You know, sometimes on a second service, on a regular, normal Sunday service, during our second service, we have just as many people here without the balcony. And there is always the temptation to start opening the balconies, and we're going to happen soon. You know, during our second service. Amen. 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 Just going with the flow. With a change of service, there was also Bible study. You know, when we're going to have our Bible study. We used to have our Bible study where we had our regular one service at 9:30. We finished at about 11 o'clock. And then about 11:30 to about 12:30 or 1 o'clock, that's when our Bible study takes place. And then when we have two morning services, 8:30 and 10:45, and 10:45 finishes at 12:15, no, who wants to stay for Bible study from 12:30 to 2 o'clock? And we did it once, and I was amazed, you know, that people stayed back. So I asked these people who stayed back, you know, for this Bible study, I said, what church do you attend? You go early morning, you finish about 2 p.m. I'd like to know what church you attend. I was just teasing them, of course. Then we have it on a Saturday, and we thought, you know, Saturday, who wants to sacrifice a Saturday just to come for Bible study from 9 to 12 or something like that? You know, and there was scores of you who signed up, you attended Bible study. Wow, I'm so very proud of you. Amazing, amazing. Just going with the flow. Just going with the flow. Then we have our ARM. Last year, we had on a Friday night. All right? This year, we thought we just pour our resources and our services together, have one service at 9:30, then have our ARM at 11:30. All right? And it's just amazing. We just go with the flow. In fact, we are supposed to have a board meeting at 5:30 p.m. this evening. All right? This evening. Then we say, oh, what about having a short board meeting after lunch today? And so we're going to stay back. See? And we just go with the flow. And so I'm seeing so many people plugging in, you know, going with the flow. And I want you to encourage you and exhort you to continue going with the flow. It's always easier to swim with the current, in the direction of the current, than against the current. And if I can say to you, church retreat is happening in August. Next week is the last week of early bird registration. So sign up. We are going to make this year, I'm going to declare it by faith, I'm going to encourage you, I'm going to challenge you, I'm going to work at it. We are going to, you know, this year, we are going to see a greatest, the largest campus ever. Amen. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. One of our staff yesterday, you know, Waking came to me and said, can you sign this? This person just needs the money very quickly, you know. I said, this person wants to sponsor a camper and needs the money. Wow. One of our church staff did that. Just wanted some allowance, you know, can you, I mean, it's not that she's asking for, he or she is asking for early, you know, early, but it's more of a claim or something like that, you know. Want it early so that this person can sponsor somebody in church for camp. And I trust that you will continue to do that, church. This is our church. You know, always a sense of generosity. Generosity. We never function from a standpoint of lack. We always function from a standpoint of generosity. You know, we are going to, like I said, in our mission pledge Sunday in March, first Sunday of this year, we are going to gift one of our church vans away to a drug rehab center. We're going to send another van to one of the old folks' home, you know, in Semonye. And what do? You know, make sure that all of the vans are serviced well. Best running condition ever that we can be. When they collect it, it's full tank of petrol. We just do that. Why? Because we are always blessed to be a blessing. You see, we challenge members to do that. We challenge ourselves to do that, but we also do it as a church. Always a sense of generosity. Just doing that. You know, when we give, we don't give broken things to people. We may give old things to people away, but no, but they are good running condition. So it's no complaint. The best ever that we can give. And there's always a spirit of generosity in what we do. So that church and the kingdom of God, you know, our lives are part and parcel. You know, our very lives, our lives, whatever we do, is just part and parcel of what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God, the Bible says, has come, as in, and Jesus says, it is in you. And if the kingdom of God is in us, how do we respond in everything and anything that we do? There's so much a part of us. So go with the flow. Number three, plug yourself into a small group. Plug yourself into a small group. Oh, the word plug. When I think of the word plug these days, I think of the death of a girl. Recently, she was listening, you know, having earphones plugged into a ear from a handphone. Remember that? You didn't hear of that? Yes, no? Yes, right? So the moment I heard that this girl, all kinds of accidents happen, you know, with handphones. She was listening to something, probably music or something, and handphone, you know, the source of the handphone, and she died of electrocution. And when I first heard about it, didn't get any details, I said she must be charging her phone while she was listening through the earphones. She must be charging it at the same time. That's why, guys, when we get a new shaver, we nowadays don't even look at the manual, operation manual, because we think we know how to operate. One of the things they ever tell us, the first thing is what? Don't charge your shaver and shave at the same time, because you will get electrocuted. You'll never shave again. You need not have to shave again. And so when I first read about it, you know, I said, she must be charging a phone, and true enough, and details came out, she was doing that. No, there's some things in life you just should not do. So I'm just saying that because of the word plug. Now, plugging your handphone and charging and listening at the same time is dangerous. But plugging yourself into a small group is never dangerous. It's always to your benefit. Always to your benefit. And you wouldn't know, you know, the pluses, the blessings of being attached to a small group until you go through a crisis. It is your small group. It could be your cell group. It could be your choir group. It could be your usher group. It could be your traffic group. It could be your children's church group. It could be your choir group. It could be your group. You know, whatever group, you've been a small group. Because we're big enough to celebrate, small enough to care. And you need to plug yourself into a small group. Which simply then means, you know, church becomes a very much a part of our life, very important part of life. So if you are able to plug yourself into a small group, the only way you can do it is do more than attend Sunday morning service. You know, plug yourself into a small group. And that's how God builds the church. And it's very important because once we've got a small group, that's where accountability is. We do check and balances. You know, I've got a group of pastors' friends whom we can actually speak into each other's life, and having spoken into each other's life, we are still friends. All right? That doesn't change anything at all. It can be very harsh words. It can be very honest words, you know. But yet, having spoken into each other's life, we are still friends. But we have that permission, that ability, that relationship to be able to speak into each other's life. We respect each other enough. Sometimes we don't agree, you know, but yet we still listen, and then we have to make a decision ourselves. All right? And so it's very important. Plug yourself into a small group. And last but not least, unplug yourself. Not just plug yourself into a small group. We need to unplug ourselves so as to plug others to God. Unplug ourselves so as to plug others to God. What do I mean by that? When Jesus spoke those words, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It was spoken in response to a question that he asked, who do people say I am? Now, when Jesus asked the question, it was almost saying that, what do you think? Who do people say I am? He wasn't having amnesia. He wasn't having any memory loss. They couldn't even know who himself was. He himself was. And then I said, you know, last week and the week before last, when Jesus, when God asks questions, he doesn't ask, and not, he's not seeking for information. He wants us to come to the point of realization ourselves as to why the question was asked in relation to our situation. And of all people, Peter answered correctly. Because others say, you know, some say you are Jeremiah the prophet, or one of the many prophets, or just a prophet. But what do you say? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says, I will build my church. Jesus took them out of Jerusalem and plucked them, so to speak, from the headquarters, from the center of the Jewish community, and plucked them into a Gentile nation, a Gentile city. And it was the midst of all of this, Jesus says, I will build my church. And that's why, last Sunday I said, the most important church person in church is the person who is not here. The non-Christians. And so we have to go out. We have to go out to bring that message and pluck ourselves. Sometimes some of us, not all, you know, church has become our very life. And that's okay. But sad to say, you know, because we are so much in church, and the only people that we ever mix with and the best friends we ever had, you know, are church people, that sometimes we find ourselves very uncomfortable in non-Christian setting. And I've seen this over and over and over again when Agapians meet in any function. I've seen most of the time Agapians are with themselves. Next time you go to a party, the next time you go to a function, tell me if I'm wrong. I've seen that again. You know, we need to unplug ourselves when there are non-Christians around and go and walk across the street, walk across the room to talk and to be with non-Christian. You know, the function, we are invited because of a Christian person, a friend, a Christian church member, a Christian family invited us for the function. But he or she or that family has got non-Christian friends. When we go to their homes, don't sit together as Agapians. You know, walk across the room. Talk to somebody. Represent Christ. Represent the church. You know, it's unplugging ourselves so that we can plug others to God. It was in a Gentile city that Jesus says, I will build my church. I will build my church. So it's going and growing. Some of us, and someone says, birds of a feather, that's my English teacher, flock together. But you know what I mean, right? Huh? Sama-sama. Some of us just love to get together for parties, right? Whether it's jalan-jalan cari makan, it's okay. But once in a while, can you invite someone in? Maybe you see a church, someone new in church. You observe that, this person has been coming for some time now. All right? The next time you have a party, the next time you have a makan, can you reach out to this person and invite the person into your world and into your makan kaki? See? To unplug yourself and plug someone into the group and to God. See, that's what we do. You know, it's okay. It's okay to have cliques. I don't agree that people say you shouldn't have any cliques in church. See, we are social beings, right? We gravitate towards people, some people, easier than others. Others, we just cannot stand. That's why you're sitting down and I'm standing. We just cannot stand them, so we sit down, all right? But it's okay to have cliques. But don't be so cliquish until it becomes what? Inward-looking and exclusive. No, flexible enough to invite someone in. Flexible enough to go out, to be with other groups. You know, plugging others to God. I need to close. I'm going to conclude my sermon by just talking about gates, because Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. One thing about gates is this: when Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, you can come up, sweets. It's okay. Jangan malu-malu. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, gates, those of you who are staying in Green Street homes, you are totally blur because you don't know what gates are. I feel so sorry for you. But have you noticed gates? One thing about gates is gates don't move. You notice that? What are gates for? Gates are to keep the good things in and the bad things out. Gates are meant to keep our pets, our dogs, our husbands in, and the bad people out. Correct or not? So gates are there. That's what gates are for. But gates don't move. Have you ever woke up one morning, open your main door? Oh my goodness, my gate is a different color. Oh no, this is not my gate. That's my neighbor's gate across the street. Where's my gate? Oh, it has gone to that neighbor's house. Gates don't move. And when Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, sometimes we think the gates of hell are coming against the church. Oh, the devil is getting at me. Oh, this is getting at me. Oh, that is getting at me. Oh, no. I cannot, because the devil is coming against me. The gates don't move. What do you say? Oh, she's a young boy is talking to somebody. It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. This church comprises all kinds of people. It's all right. Don't worry much about it. I thought you was talking to me. That's all. No. I thought it was another Rajan at the back there talking to me. See, I'm got distracted now. No, you'll find that gates don't move, basically. So, Jesus, when he says, I will build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it, he was not saying that the gates of hell are advancing and coming against the church. He's talking about church that is advancing. A church that's moving forward. A church that's going and growing. A church that's making headways. A church that's taking on enemies' territories. And as we move out, the Bible says even the very gates of hell was not stopped the on-marching church. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. That's the kind of a church God is talking about. Gates do not move. And Jesus says, I will build my church. And as I build my church, as the church moves forward, nothing will stop the ongoing church. And that is the promise of God. Gates do not move. But God's church does. And God's church will bring down the very gates of hell. And we're going to believe that. So let's stand together, church. Worship team, please come back. We're going to sing a very lively chorus in a short while. But just for now, can we say, God, build your church, Lord. Build your church, Lord. Your universal church. Your local church. What does it mean, build your local church? Bless agape. Favor agape. Bless this local church. What does agape means? You and I. Bless me, God. Use me, God. Oh, God, help me to plug myself into a small group. Lord, help me to unplug myself, Lord. Oh, God, so that I can plug others to you. Oh, God, make kingdom living very much a part of my life. Oh, God, help me go with the flow. Oh, God. Oh God,
Give me grace. Give me strength. Everyone just praying for a little while. Just for a little while. Oh God. We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise, oh God. Hallelujah. Oh God, make church a very much in a part of your life. Hallelujah. Some things that we do for God may not necessarily be spiritual. Some it can be very, very mechanical, or some it can be very, very manual. You know, things around in church to do. You know, you see something that needs to be fixed. You see something that needs to be improved. You see something, you know, a fixture or something in church. You know, whatever it is, you know, maybe you can add flavor, add value, add beauty, you know, to our church compound. Whatever it is, you know, just say volunteer yourself. Don't next Sunday just paint one wall red, you know, or on your own, taking initiative. Before you paint, talk to us. You know, but just say, God, just be so sensitive to what God is doing. Just be so open, you know, and check with the leadership. Oh God, oh God, oh God. This is our church, friends. I believe God has brought us together for a service like this, you know, for many reasons. Some of us are still going from first to second service. We have quite not decided which service to attend. Some of us have kind of plucked ourselves into a smaller service, in the sense maybe the first service. And a lot of people are just strange and new to you. Friends, walk across the room. Get to know people. On a second service, you know, some probably, you know, because of a change of service, because of business, of a schedule, because of children up there, you know, we have to attend to. Friends, take time to connect with one another. Take time to talk to somebody. Take time to greet somebody. Take time to smile. Don't walk past by somebody. Hallelujah. Oh God, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Just a little while more. You talk to God now. You hear from God. Praise God.